Radio Prague News.
The Canadian Minister of Foreign Affairs has assured Prague that Canada is not planning on reintroducing visas. The Czech state has reached an agreement with New World Resources over the winding down of operations at its Paskov black coal mine. And in hockey's lean are one win away from the league title. Canadian Minister of Foreign Affairs John Baird has assured Prague that Canada is not planning on reintroducing visas for Czech citizens. He made the point in a meeting with his Czech counterpart Lubomír Zaorálek in Prague on Tuesday. Canada reinstated visas in 2009 after registering a rise in asylum seekers from the Czech Republic. The visas were only lifted last November. Czech Foreign Minister Zaorálek said the former visas had been a barrier to broader cooperation between Canada and the Czech Republic. Mr. Baird confirmed it would be difficult to boost trade and investment were visas still in place, noting that Canada signed an historic trade agreement with the EU last year. The Czech state has reached an agreement with New World Resources to help wind down operations of the Paskov black coal mine. Mining at the site will continue for 3 more years before it will be due to close, and the government will provide 600 million crowns for social programs for miners. The matter will be discussed at the cabinet level next week, the Minister for Industry and Trade, Jan Mladek, confirmed. The state will have to honor its end of the agreement only as long as the mine is kept running until 2017. In other news, the ANO party has emerged on top in a new survey of voter preferences ahead of the European elections. According to the poll, which was conducted by Hertzmann and Data Collect, some 22% of voters would back the party. The Social Democrats would receive around 14% of the vote, followed by the Communists with just over 11%. Top 09, Dawn, and the Civic Democrats would also win seats in the European Parliament, according to the survey. Just over 32% of eligible voters would turn out at the polls. Voting for the European Parliament is scheduled for May 23rd and 24th. Prague City councillors have kept open the possibility of a tram line one day being reintroduced at the city's popular St. Wenceslas Square, passing changes in the metropolitan plan for future developments. Originally, there was opposition to the idea within the Assembly and from Prague 1. The potential route was modified, however, only to reach the top of the square from the city's Vinohrady district before veering off and traveling to the city's main railway hub. If the route were introduced, it would not traverse the length of the square, as some had hoped. Changes would also have to be made to the city's Magistrala throughway to allow for the tram. Police arrested 4 people at the beginning of April involved in the old-school production of the illicit drug heroin, cooking the drug from hand-picked, dried, and ground poppy plants at a house in Kolín, east of Prague. According to the police, the main coordinator in production and distribution is 43-year-old Jan Jukl, a guitarist for punk band Plexus, together with his girlfriend. News website Idnes reported that both were themselves users. The production of heroin in the Czech Republic is very rare. According to the Daily, 95% of the drug usually comes from abroad, places like Afghanistan, Pakistan, and other countries in Asia. The Czech gang also produced and sold marijuana and sold the Czech methamphetamine Pervitin, bought from a third party. Crime investigators found the body of a murder victim at the Orlický Reservoir near the Czech castle Zvíkov. It was revealed on Tuesday. The victim was found at the beginning of the month when the police were investigating another murder. The body was bound by a chain attached to a heavier item and is believed to have been in the water for at least 2 years. The police are asking anyone with possible knowledge for help. In the past, investigators found a number of bodies at the reservoir. The most infamous series of murders took place there in the early 1990s. And finally, in sport, in hockey, Zlín beat Kometa Brno 4-1 in the Czech Hockey League finals in Brno on Monday night and is now leading Brno 3-0 in the best-of-seven series. Brno tried hard for their first win but failed to convert except for once. The fourth game is scheduled for Tuesday night. If Zlín win, they will claim the league title for the first time in 10 years. I'm Jan Wellinger. That's the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Jan Richter. Coming in today's program, Czech scientists denounce the Environment Ministry's plans for the Šumavan National Park. Then, two Czech youngsters want to pedal their way from Bohemia to the North Sea. And later, we visit the Bubny train station, which saw some of the darkest moments in Prague's history. All that coming your way, so please stay with us. A group of Czech scientists is threatening to launch legal action against the Czech Republic over what they see as its failure to provide appropriate protection for the Šumava National Park. The Czech Environment Ministry plans to designate 23% of the park's area as non-intervention zones, off limits for loggers and developers. But the scientists argue that over 50% of the park should be granted such protection and say the ministry has given in to pressure from local politicians and logging firms. I spoke to Professor Pavel Kindelman of Prague's Charles University about the ministry's plans.
It's a big disappointment for us, and it's very unfortunate that the ministry did not listen to the scientific arguments. There are no reasons why not to declare the non-intervention zones at the size which we suggested. We strongly suspect that the decision of the ministry is a result of strong and ruthless pressure of local politicians and developers, and we are prepared to complain to the European Commission and ask for stopping the flow of European environmental money. Because the Czech Republic, if this happens, will not satisfactorily protect the nature and the regions which are under Natura 2000 protection.
Well, Deputy Environment Minister Vladimír Dolejský told the news agency ČTK on Sunday that despite the fact that the care plan for the next 3 years does not envisage the extension of the park's non-intervention zones to 50% as you proposed, but that over the long term, by the year 2030, the zones, the non-intervention zones, should actually cover that area. Will it not be sufficient if the non-intervention areas of the park will get to the proposed 50% over the long term?
It would be sufficient if this happened. But the fear is that during these, I don't know, something like 15 years, the areas which are in question, which cover about one quarter of the park, may be damaged by logging. In theory, according to the ministry, in this questionable park, logging will be allowed only after Natura 2000 assessment. However, the ministry still keeps the director who is responsible for the massive logging of the most precious part in 2011 and who caused damage to 32 hectares of most precious area. So if this director will continue, then we are very skeptic about the future of the park.
What do you think should happen to make sure that the Šumava National Park is well protected and, of course, does not lose its international ranking?
There must be a strong counter pressure from the side of the scientists, and we are quite unified now, and we are really prepared to undertake strong actions against the Czech Republic if the European legislation will not be followed. And also the international audience can help us by writing letters and petitions to the Czech Environmental Ministry saying that Šumava is of international importance and should be preserved.
I was talking there to Professor Pavel Kindelman of Prague's Charles University. Have you visited the Šumava National Park, and do you think the government should heed the advice of Czech scientists? Let us know what your thoughts are. Coming up next, two local boys from Nymburk, about 50 kilometers east of Prague, will set out on an unusual journey at the end of June, pedaling almost 1,000 kilometers down the River Elbe to Hamburg in a boat made of plastic water bottles. Honza Kara, a 22-year-old student, and his friend Jakub Bureš, a 21-year-old mechanic, are currently putting the finishing touches to their craft ahead of the summer launch. Radio Prague's Rob Cameron met the two of them in Nymburk, and Honza Kara told him how the idea was born.
Last year I went on from Nymburk to Gibraltar. It was a 3,000 kilometers long pilgrimage, and we haven't known each other, you know. And Jakub, he wrote me that he wanted to meet me when I came back home, and he told me that he's building his private boat from PET bottles. And I told him, so if it will be working, we'll make a big one and we'll go to the Hamburg.
So we're standing in Nymburk, which is a small town on the river Labe, Elbe, as it's known in German and in English indeed. And about 850, 900 kilometers that way is Hamburg and the North Sea.
Yeah.
So your plan is to pedal down the river Elbe, 850 kilometers to Hamburg in a boat that's made from plastic bottles.
Yes, exactly.
Have you lost your minds?
No. It's just, you know, why not? Why not? If it will be working, so we can go, I don't know, we can go the same way back. If it will be good boat, you know. If not, we'll stay here and that's all.
Okay. So the River Elbe, in other words, is completely navigable from
here
to the North Sea.
Yes. Because, you know, our boat, it will be about 1 meter down to the river, so we can go everywhere we want, you know.
Okay, right. Because I'm quite interested in the legality of these things.
Yes.
Do you need a license?
No.
You need...
Because it's a boat, you know, shorter than 20 meters, and it hasn't, you know, any engine or something like
engine.
That. So if you have paddle boat or without any power, you know, so you can go... That's all.
Okay. Right. So there's no need to tell the authorities beforehand.
No, absolutely not.
Right. Okay. The second thing, how long will this take you?
We don't know. We don't know how fast it will be, you know, but we have we will have a lot of free time. So we can spend 2 months on it. Doesn't matter, you know. Whole summer.
All right, next thing, where are you gonna sleep?
On a boat. There'll be something like cabin for 4 people, you know, so we'll not be the only passengers on a boat. There'll be 2 extra, you know, men pedaling, and maybe one cameraman also, you know, for recording things. And so we'll sleep on a boat or in a tent, you know, close to a river somewhere on a bank.
Okay. Food?
Food? I don't know, you know, normal food.
Water?
Water, normal water.
Toilets?
Toilets, you know, into the river.
So you've really thought of everything.
As I told you, I went for 80 days from this city to Gibraltar without any, you know, showers or toilets or bed. You know, I slept on the ground and without any tent. You know, I just had a backpack with 8 kilograms and it was all, you know. So I washed myself once a week. So I'm okay with it.
What do your friends and family say?
You know, my parents, they are okay with everything I do. You know, they support me. And so they are just... I think they like that I'm doing something like this, you know, that I'm not the ordinary boy.
I guess I would ask you just finally, why are you doing this?
Just for adventure. That's the main idea, yeah.
Rob Cameron spoke to Honza Kara about the pair's ambitious plan. But now, Marsha Wolinski visits Prague's Bubny train station in this edition of In Focus.
Vážení cestující, osobní vlak číslo 9877 ze směru Kladno-Ostrovec, který dále pokračuje ve směru Praha-Masarykovo nádraží.
The rundown Praha-Bubny train station is now a fairly insignificant stop on commuter train routes going to and from destinations west of Prague. But in the early 1940s, this was the setting for one of the darkest and cruelest chapters in Czech history. Some 50,000 Czech Jews walked through the small departure lounge to be put on transport trains taking them to the Lodz ghetto and later to the concentration camp in Theresienstadt or Terezin. Most were subsequently transported to forced labor and death camps like Auschwitz, where they perished. Helga Hushkova-Weissova was 12 years old when her family was called up for one of the first transports out of Prague, heading to Terezin.
I remember it quite clearly. It was December of 1941. It was a freezing winter. It was in the morning and it was snowing. We walked from today's Veletržní palace with our luggage all the way here, and I think we went straight to the platform. They put us into the cars in groups of 50. We knew that our destination was Terezin, but we did not know what it would be like. We were very naive. We thought we would live there as a family and work, and that we would soon come home alive. Of course, it all turned out differently. Families were separated right away, and we later found out that Terezin was not the final destination.
Helga, who is now an artist, drew pictures of what she saw and kept a diary describing her wartime experiences, which was published in book form last year. She still has very clear memories of her departure from Bubny.
Of course it was very hard. We were saying goodbye to Prague, and we didn't know if we would ever come back. I remember how the train would stop and start, go back and forth, and we just wanted it to go already because it was really difficult. But then, when it finally gathered speed, we were wishing that it would go back for just a little bit.
Helga was, so to say, lucky to have stayed together with her mother throughout the war. After a few years in Terezin, they were deported to the concentration camp in Auschwitz, then Freiburg, and later Mauthausen. The 16-year-old Helga returned to Prague with her mother in 1945.
We came back to Prague also by train on May the 21st at 1:45 at night. I remember that exactly. Then we arrived at Wilson Station, now the central train station.
This month, an NGO called Pamatnik Shoa organized a small exhibition at the Bubny train station, which they eventually want to turn into a place of remembrance for the Czech victims of the Holocaust. Through striking audio-visual presentations, photographs, and documents, the exhibit, entitled Kadish, allowed visitors to get a glimpse of the experience of those thousands of Jews and others for whom Bubny was the last stop before a terrifying journey to their death. Pavel Stingel from the organization says despite this well-known chapter in the city's history, Prague does not have a place where these events and their consequences are being discussed, which is why they want to create a new center at the Bubny train station.
We don't want to create some sort of burial grounds here in the middle of a modern new neighborhood that is being planned here. We want to create a forum for discussion about questions and stigma of those events that is relevant to the young generation today. Of course, we are still searching for the answers, but even that search needs a place, and that's what we want to use this train station for.
The Kadish exhibit in June was on the one hand a presentation of what the future Shoah Memorial could look like, but it was also an opportunity for the organizers to begin a discussion about what should be created there and how to attract a wider audience. Artists, Holocaust survivors, and visitors took part in afternoon discussions about what a modern Holocaust memorial should be like.
Je vidět, že vlastně
It is clear that the time has come to look for a new language. The generation of Holocaust survivors is leaving us, along with their legacy. While the survivors are still around, their stories don't need any artistic accompaniment. But once they are gone, just showing films about them doesn't have the same effect. So we need to find a new way to talk about this very significant topic, which is also similar to events we are living through today.
For Pavel Stingl, who is a documentary filmmaker, the topic of the Holocaust is not new. It is both part of his family history and his work as well. But he still finds it almost incredible that he is involved in the Shoah Memorial Project and how it has come together so far.
It's all a bit bizarre. I grew up here just a street away. I used to go to this train station to watch steam trains. I learned how to smoke here. We would mess around here with the other boys. And I could have never imagined that I will one day be setting up a memorial here, even though my family went through Auschwitz.
As he looked for a space that could be appropriate for housing a center for discussion and remembrance, he fell on unexpected good luck.
One day, completely by accident, I found out that this train station, even though it is located in what they are now calling a developer's heaven, actually still belongs to the state-owned Czech Railways. When we started negotiations with Czech Rail, it turned out they didn't want the station, but couldn't easily sell it, and were very happy if a cultural institution were to appear there.
The somewhat ramshackle area in the Holešovice neighborhood where the Praha Bubny station is located is slated to be turned into large-scale modern development with offices, residential housing, and shopping centers. Pavel and his colleagues were surprised to find out that their plans for the Shoah Memorial did not interfere with the developer's plans, at least so far. A commercial project of that scale has to legally contain a cultural element, and a Holocaust Memorial Center at Bubny would fulfill the developer's obligations. For now, though, members of Pamatnik Shoah and their supporters are trying to come up with a viable plan for the future of Praha Bubny. Pavel Stingl hopes that this will not be a traditional memorial or museum, which could dissuade visitors who have no personal connection to the topic.
I want it to be a sort of contact center. I think that's a better definition than a memorial. I want people to want to come here, not only as part of the mandatory school trips. I want there to be discussion about topics that are relevant, that would make the people who will live here in the new building want to cross the street, go under the tracks, and visit this meeting place.
Although the Kaddish presentation received a very positive response from visitors and the media, the Bubny train station project will take some time to realize. The reconstruction of the surrounding area, including the railroad tracks going past the station, will take quite a few years to complete. And there's always the thorny issue of funding. But as the organizers had hoped, the exhibit at the small station kicked off a fruitful and necessary discussion that is bound to continue.
That edition of In Focus with Masha Wolinski, which was first broadcast last June, was the final part of our program today. Just a reminder that all our programs are available online at radio.cz, and you can also follow Radio Prague on Facebook and on Twitter. If you have any comments or questions for us, you can easily get in touch. Contact us at email at english@radio.cz or by post to Radio Prague, Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. But for now, from me, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.